not sure if you're aware, but you actually have a lifetime of gardening experience sitting right here in the KSRO greenhouse in the form of Dave Fazio, who has spent an entire life with plants, early age studying plants, professionally starting one of the greatest nurseries in California history, the Sonoma Mission Gardens, right here in Sonoma at Craig and Arnold Drive, which he's owned for 45 plus years. Also has won every gardening landscape design award there is to win in California, has installed and designed over 1,000 landscapes, has taught horticulture at the Santa Rosa Junior College for over 35 years, and also co-hosted this program for 17 plus years, answering gardening questions. He is here today answering gardening questions, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher. So if you know what's good for you and you want to do the best by your yard and garden, you will put him to work this hour simply by calling 636-1350. Take a look around your property before the rains come in and throw some questions at him, and he would love the challenge of helping you nurture your plants, make sure that you're doing everything right by them. Whether it's maybe too early to prune, he'll let you know. Too late to prune, what not to touch, what to fertilize, and maybe even a problem area that you're looking to replace certain plants in your landscape that got damaged by either the heat or the rain and the cold from this last week. David can help you that way too. You can also, the great thing about technology, can shoot us a photo of your particular plant question or plant identification to steve@ksro.com, and we'll take your question via email. But it's always better, we think, to be able to have a conversation, because oftentimes, don't we find that with emails, although we answer the questions, you certainly do, there's always another question or two that you sure would like answered before giving a definitive answer. So if you can give us a call, we have no one on hold at this moment at 636-1350. We'd love a chance to talk with you and make sure your holiday went fine, hear about what your plans are in your garden for the winter and early spring. We forgot to mention, in all the vegetables that thrive during the early and late winter, peas. Not only ornamental peas, flowering peas, which...
Flowering sweet peas, it always tickles me in the nursery, because people will always wait till springtime when they're in bloom to buy their sweet pea seed, and it's too late. They don't like the hot weather. Get them in, get them planted now, and that way you'll have a good crop of flowering sweet peas in the spring.
And also edible peas, which a lot of people don't plant at this time of year.
Yeah. Not only the ones that you have to take out of the pod, but sugar snaps, yeah, and the sugar peas that, and stuff, they all do very well with the cold weather. But now is the time to be getting those into the ground.
So if you can't do it this weekend, then after the rains clear out in the midweek and next weekend, get some vegetables. You'll be amazed how little effort is required for such tremendous payback in winter gardens. It's becoming almost more my favorite time to garden because of how minimal the labor is involved. There's very little pest problems overall.
Yeah.
To me, heat waves are as damaging, if not more so, than cold snaps during the summer, when we get those 95, 100 degrees, everything just wilts on the vine a lot of times, and you have to be much more proactive. Whereas winter, it's pretty much kind of set it and forget it, as long as you make just do the basics.
Yep.
and make sure things are not stressed too much. You'll have fresh salad greens throughout the entire winter. 636-1350 to reach Dave and Steve. Now we got a follow-up from Jean about her lemon tree. And she says, hi, I did hear what you had to say. I have a lemon tree that was quite prolific, she said, but after pruning, presently it isn't producing any lemons. She had that pruned in summer, it looks like.
Yeah, and also she mentions quite drastically because of a rodent problem, which is understandable. And it'll take her about a year before the tree will come back and start bearing again for her, but it'll be fine.
I wonder if that was a big, she doesn't mention how big that is. I recall seeing some photos of listeners that sent us photos of what has eaten all the rind off my lemon or my orange trees.
Oh, yeah. It's really weird because, you know, I've had people bring them into the nursery and stuff, and they're completely devoid of any rind on the outside, and the lemon will be sitting there, and it's rats that's causing the problem.
People don't want to believe that, though.
And this has been another, people think, you know, rats are dirty and you don't take care of your home. The rat population has exploded. It's got nothing to do with you in particular.
Yeah.
But it's been really bad the last several years, and they're way up again this year.
Okay, you've seen that a lot. So what you can do to protect your citrus tree, well, if they're coming down off a fence line, not much you can do. They're just going to jump. If it's in the middle of a field somewhere and they're getting to it, I guess you could wrap some thing along the trunk, possibly?
Sometimes, you know, a loose wire, like an aviary netting or something that's loose and flexible so they can't grab on really well, or screening around the base so they can't get over that, or even the old pie tin type of look with a piece of metal.
Do you know what someone also did was galvanized metal wrapped around about 2 or 3 feet up the trunk?
Yeah.
And because they can't adhere, there's no traction, they can't get into the tree that way. Have you heard of that working also?
Yeah.
So there are some controls, some things you can do. From Forestville, Tatiana, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning? Hi, Tatiana.
Oh, hi. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
We planted fava beans, which we have done many, many times, and they were up about 2.5, 3 feet maybe, and looking perfectly good. And then that rain that we had has knocked down a number of them and even seems to have broken some. And we've never had that happen before because they grow all through the winter usually and are fine. So we didn't know what to do about this.
If you don't have a big crop or a big bed of them, you could actually put like a little bamboo stake and tie them up. If they're broken and not going to do what you want them to do this year, I'd probably take and replant, because you still have a little bit of time to do that, to fill your bed in or whatever. And are you actually harvesting the favas, or are you using them as a green manure?
We do harvest favas in the spring. And, you know, they're not huge beds, maybe 4x12, a couple of those. And they usually do beautifully. So we were surprised. So don't, you wouldn't suggest cutting them back, you know, to where they bent over, but you just to start over.
I would start over. If they're just bent, then you could probably stake them or something, or just leave them be. Because if you cut them back, you're probably not going to get your beans out of them.
Okay.
At this point.
Is this unusual, as we've never seen that before? Why would that happen?
I don't know whether it was the way the wind was blowing and the wetness, the weight of the water on them, or what that caused it. It's really hard to say. You're the first one that's brought that to my attention. So I don't know. You know, it might be because it was pretty windy at the same time that they were real wet. Oh. So them being a little extra heavy and stuff with the wind, it may have knocked them over.
The wind is so different this year for us, so you're right. It could be that.
So advice is maybe not to cut them back, Dave, because then she'll cut back. No, there won't be any fava production in the spring.
They might rebranch and flower for it, but they might not, too.
Okay, I think it's easy enough to just start over. Since it's my husband's job, easy for me to say.
That makes it much easier, huh?
Much easier. So, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate the help.
Wonderful call. Thank you, Tatiana from Forestville. That was almost like a stand-up comedian's line, wasn't it? That was beautiful. Judy had a comment and question about row cover that she emailed us, and that is, when you say row cover, are you talking about plastic covering it or a netting? And what keeps all the leaves and things from gathering on the top of that and forming a cupping or dishing in the middle? Well, when I say floating row cover, it's not plastic. It's semi-permeable fabric is what it is. And there is some leaves that fall on them. This is not a big bed. This is about 15 feet by about 2.5-3 feet. It's not 30-40 feet. And we have stakes underneath to make sure that it's not pressing down on the leaves. And we just have this covered on three sides with 2x4s. And we take those 2x4s off, the ones on the side, roll back the row cover, and just make sure everything looks good, and then just cover it back up. So there's no real cupping going on. There's not a lot of debris and leaves that form, especially with the winds we've been having. And it's the main thing, it's permeable. Mm-hmm. It's not plastic, because we don't want to do that. Well, because I think the mold and mildew could possibly happen if we trap all that moisture underneath that. So is that...
Yeah, and the thing is, if our bed is really wide, I mean, you were mentioning a fairly skinny bed.
Yes, it's 2.5 feet.
So that, you know, a stake or two would hold the center up pretty much. But you can actually take like a half-inch PVC and bend it over your bed and then put this over the top of it. And it makes like a miniature Quonset hut or greenhouse.
Like a little greenhouse.
Yeah, and it works very, very well. And it's easy to get into and out of and one thing and another. And that way the leaves aren't landing on the top and making it heavy and falling in on you.
Yeah, we've used everything. We've used actually inverted flower pots to raise the netting. When I say netting, it's not really netting. That's the wrong term. If I use that, I apologize. I call it floating row cover. Is there a better term for it, Dave, than that? Landscape fabric?
When you say landscape fabric, that's thinking more of weed matter or something. Yeah. The grow cover or the row cover are both basically the same material, and it's like a light muslin or something, I guess you might say, because it allows the air and stuff through it, and it's very durable. It's got a little bit of a plastic material in it and stuff, but it's good for lighting, and it allows the plant to go on growing.
So when I say that, I mean grow cover or row cover.
Yeah.
And it works very effectively. Gary has a question. Morning, Steve and Dave. Please identify the species of lemon and why the trunk does this. The tree sits between two houses in very hard soil in West Petaluma. So, well, it looks like a lovely lemon to me, but can you tell what kind of lemon that is, Dave?
Well, because of the nipple or the tit at the end of the fruit, I would say that it probably is either Eureka or Lisbon, which is a true lemon rather than the Meyer. And looking at the trunk, it's fairly old, which might indicate that be a little bit of an indication in that direction.
That's
too.
That's a huge trunk.
And looking at the tree, the trunk of the tree, the picture that he sent me, it looks like he might have a little bit of squirrel or rat damage on the bark.
Look at that.
It's kind of unusual to see. It looks like it's been pulled off, but I don't know how to get this to go in closer or anything. I don't know, you know.
Oh, Mike.
I have enough trouble with my computer. I'm not sure how this one works.
I was able to open this up, and I have a large picture of the trunk on my computer, but do you want to see? And it does look like something, some rat damage or squirrel damage. I wonder if, rabbits wouldn't be up there like that.
Well, it could be rabbits too, but I would guess rats or squirrels first.
And it looks like one section of the trunk is really blackened. Wow.
I thought Mike knew everything when it came to computers. Come on.
We're just trying to enlarge this trunk.
You know, without being able to see the edges, actually, because usually you can actually see, there we go. Yeah, I would say squirrel or rats. It could be possibly rabbits, but I think squirrel or rats, because you can almost see the teeth mark on edge of the markings. And so I would take and either... do some bait. I hate to do baiting because then you got to worry about all the critters and everything. But maybe getting even like a little some tanglefoot or something, which is gooey and using it on that area, or wrapping the lower portion of the trunk with some small chicken wire or mm-hmm. aviary netting or something, so they can't get to the trunk, may stop them from doing any more damage, because it could get very serious. I think what's there isn't going to kill the tree or anything, but
because the leaves look healthy, and certainly the fruit is prolific on this tree.
Yeah.
And you think it's possibly a Eureka or?
Yeah, because the nipple or the tip, the point at the bottom is substantial. And it is the time of the year that they would be ripe. And he doesn't say anything about it bearing fruit all year long. It looks like one of those two. I think it's probably the true lemon and not the Meyer. The Meyer usually has more of a rounded end to it, and it tends to be fruit on it all year long.
Is it possible to tell whether it's a Lisbon or Eureka or not from Florida?
Good
no.
luck. I don't know. Even a citrus, if aficionado probably couldn't tell them the difference whether it was a Eureka or a Lisbon. Maybe they could do it through DNA or something.
Okay. There's your answer, Gary. If you need further information, please call us or shoot us another email, 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Good photos of that lemon. Beautiful, healthy tree. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back. No one on hold at this moment. You can reach Dave Fazio. It's a great opportunity to reach Dave before the year is up. He's on the show about two or three times a year, fills in for Gwen Kilcher, and when he's here, people love to talk with him, as always, because he's had 45-plus years of answering questions both at the nursery and on the radio and in the classroom, as he's taught horticulture at the Santa Rosa Junior College since the 1970s, too, and has installed and designed thousands of award-winning landscapes. Let him help you this morning on Garden Talk Live, 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Back right after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the holidays. No guilt about leaving them behind with all-day supervised pet play, indoor and outdoor yards, Caranda cots with fleece blankets, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts. Give them a call now to book for Christmas. Happy holidays from Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
The only constant is change, but Winter Stoke is eternal. This fall, celebrate the official kickoff to winter with Warren Miller's 70th anniversary film, Timeless, presented by Volkswagen. It's not just a movie, it's an experience. 70 years in the making. Go to warrenmiller.com.
Two shows in Santa Rosa at 3rd Street Cinema Saturday, December 7th, 4:30 and 7. Tickets on sale at warrenmiller.com or at 3rd Street Cinema box office.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Every moment is just for you at Graton Resort and Casino. Go all in on exciting gaming action or celebrate and explore 12 great restaurants, 6 bars and lounges, nightly entertainment, and more. It's your moment right in the heart of Sonoma Wine Country. Staycation in luxury, from our beautiful rooms to our world-class spa and fabulous pool with cabanas. Book your stay today at GreytonResortCasino.com. Your moment awaits. See you there.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is Garden Talk. It is live. If you're joining us on this Saturday holiday weekend, thank you for listening to the program this morning. Steve Garner along with pinch hitter Dave Fazio in for Gwen Kilcher. You can reach Dave with any gardening questions at 636-1350. Why wait for an internet response when you can get it live here in Sonoma County itself instead of some discombobulated resource 1,000 miles away, which some people do rely on for internet gardening advice. I can't imagine you'd want to stay local as much as possible. 636-1350. Open lines now. We can get you on the show if you have a gardening question or comment for Dave. Or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksrdo.com. Gary followed up with another email about his lemon tree. He says, it does bear fruit all year, and sometimes like this, with grapefruit-sized lemons, too. Gary, if you're just tuning in, it just sent us a beautiful photograph of his either Eureka or possibly Lisbon lemon. We're not sure which one. He said, I was told this is the Buddha paw lemon crossed with the Eureka, or you've heard maybe it called Buddha's hand. So it's hard to tell. But that,
I'm not at all familiar with a hybrid of that nature, but it wouldn't surprise me that there is one that exists. But it looks, you know, it resembles, at least in the picture, very much of a Eureka or a Lisbon lemon.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful tree. Mm-hmm. Mitch, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. You're on with Dave Fazio. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, good morning. Dave, I know you're not an ichthyologist, but I wanted to know if you knew what the trout said when he hit the wall.
Damn.
Oh, you're busting my chops. Hey, thanks for the answering my call. I have a strange question. I have a Gravenstein apple and a Red Delicious, and this year I didn't self-pollinate my Red Delicious, and they came out like a hybrid, because they weren't red. They were like a Gravenstein and a Red Delicious. Is that a feasible scenario to come up with?
If it's truly a Red Delicious, the fruit should normally look like a Red Delicious apple. It doesn't matter what it cross-pollinates with as such. There must be something else that is going on, whether it might, but it's not with a pollination problem.
Because the year before last they were totally red, and this year they looked like a Red Delicious got a little bit too close to my Gravensteins, but I couldn't figure it out, so I guess it's just going to be what it is.
I don't know why the coloring would have changed. The shape of the apple and the bumps on the bottom and stuff are all pretty normal for a Red Delicious.
Yes, but it's one of those ones I bought at the place on Fulton, and it's not self-pollinating. So I used to take a paintbrush and then dab the pollen on around it, and last year I didn't do it. And they were delicious, no pun intended, but they certainly was not a Red Delicious.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because normally with apples, there are several other varieties that will cross-pollinate with them. You know, like the Jonathan is really good with the Gravenstein. They used to plant like one Jonathan for every acre or 3 acres or something like that, and it increased the quantity of Gravensteins you would get, but it didn't affect the fruit. Yeah, I don't know why it would have changed colors and stuff. It'd be interesting if it doesn't next year to take some pictures or something so that we could take a look at it.
I can do better than that. I'll pick a bunch and bring them out to Sonoma, bring them to Steve and Gwen and see what they...
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time. I hope you all have a very happy holiday and a healthy new year.
Thank you.
All right. Interesting question. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break and we will come right back. We can take more email questions at steve@ksro.com, or we'd love the chance to talk with you for a bit too. Join us in the greenhouse live, 636-1350. This is KSRO.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Hi, it's On the Wine Roads, Jeff Davis. Today, the road is taking us to Smothers European Volvo Cars for their Sweden's Greeting sales event. Right now, if you lease or purchase a new Volvo, they'll gift you one complimentary payment. In other words, if you lease for 36 months, you only pay for 35. Smothers European Volvo Cars is offering incentives as well to sweeten the deal. You can purchase an XC90 T6 Momentum 6-passenger SUV for $62,260 with Smothers $1,000 discount. Or go bigger, an XC90 T5 Momentum 7-passenger SUV could be yours for just $55,500 with Smothers $1,000 discount. Other discounts may apply as well. You'll also find holiday deals on 2019 models. Smothers is a go local dealership and family owned since 1982 on the Corby Auto Row and Smothers European Volvo Cars.com.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadare.com. That's georgiadare.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Michael O'Shea here for King's Nursery. For 126 years, a wonderful part of Sonoma County. Yep, I said 126 years. While my King's rose trees are getting ready for their winter sleep, can you think of a better holiday gift for the gardener in your life than a gift from King's? Felco pruning shears, West County gloves, or how about one of their amazing houseplants to bring the freshness of nature into your holiday home. Here's a great gift idea, a King's gift certificate. And get this, Fred and Dan will sell you one with a 10% discount. Buy a $10 gift certificate for $9, a $100 gift certificate for $90. And as Fred put it in a note to me, buy a $1 million gift certificate for just 900 grand. Come on, someone out there in Silicon Valley, take him up on that deal. Again, voted as the best nursery in Sonoma County, King's Nursery is a great place to go holiday shopping. A family business for, 126 years. King's Nursery, corner of 13th and Stewart in the heart of Santa Rosa. The family at King's wishes you and yours a wonderful holiday season. KingsFlowerNursery.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Jeff Woodworth filling in for Daniel Trucios. Cloudy skies with periods of rain will give us a daytime high of 46, 47 along the coast. Wind gusts will average around 20 miles per hour, although higher wind gusts are likely, and about a half an inch of rain is expected before 2 to 3 inches fall later in the day. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It's Steve and Dave in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. Glad you decided to include us in your weekend holiday listening. 636-1350 if you'd like a word with Dave Fazio, or you can always shoot Dave an email. It's steve@ksro.com. Instantaneous gardening advice and encouragement on pretty much anything that grows out there in the sunshine. Is there a plant or a variety of plants that you couldn't give away a few years ago and now you can barely keep in stock at the nursery?
Well, the big group that's become really popular in the last several years with not only the more modern architecture stuff going on and the drought and all that sort of stuff are the sedums and succulents, and also the cacti. You know, it was like blue agave was one of those things that was like nobody wanted to buy one from you, but now you can't hardly keep them in stock, and they've developed all these different striped versions and everything else. But the sedums and succulents have been a really hot item for the last 2 years.
Well, why are they advantageous? Because they're easy to maintain, they're low growing, or are they heat resistant, drought resistant? What are some of the attributes?
Basically, a little bit of all of the above. They're, and generally, the deer will leave them alone. Sometimes with the succulents that have got a lot of water in the leaf, you'll find that turkeys will quite often munch on them. But other than that, they don't really have a lot of problems. And, you know, the blue agave has been a real hot item because of its architectural structure and the colors that are in it and everything. But you still have to be very careful of the thorns.
Yeah. And I guess tequila lovers like to have that plant in their yard, too.
Probably.
Blue agave.
I mean, that is where your tequila comes from.
That's right. But you need direct sun. They don't do well in shade.
There's a few of the succulents, some of the smaller growing sedums and stuff that will tolerate some shade, but I wouldn't put anything in a dark shady area that's moist.
Okay.
They don't like that kind
of
conditions.
But for a lot of direct sun and something drought resistant, then sedums are a really good choice.
Yep.
Anything else come to mind besides sedums that has cyclically not done well and all of a sudden there's bigger demand in the nursery?
Well, there's still a certain amount of demand for, you know, people are always saying, well, I want California natives, but there's a lot of other plants from other areas of the world that are as drought tolerant and deer resistant as our California natives, and 9 times out of 10 they look better than some of our California natives.
So you try to steer people towards those too. If they say, well, I only want California natives, you say, well, there are those, but also look at some of these.
I think most of the people that are looking at California natives are looking at them because they think they're drought tolerant, and also deer resistant is a big thing.
But
there are a lot of things like tea trees from Australia, New Zealand area, grevilleas that are from down that way and South Africa and stuff. They're all fairly good and they're hardy, and the critters generally leave most of those alone.
What about, here's a new plant for me, and I've been reading about this recently, the past month. Germanders, Germanders. Do you use those or recommend those in your landscape designs?
Yeah, we not only use them, we sell a lot of them, too, to the general public. They're both fairly low water requiring. I wouldn't say drought tolerant or drought resistant, but they're low water requiring. They bloom. They come as a ground cover type of planting, or they also come in shrub size. And the ground covers are generally kind of a greeny black leaf with rosy pink flowers on them. And then a lot of the shrubberies, or the more popular shrubberies, because there's several varieties, are kind of a blue or silver blue foliage.
Nice.
And they have
nice.
Either a white or a blue flower on them.
Are they evergreen?
They're evergreen.
They are.
And the deer don't particularly care for them, and they're low water and easy maintenance. And if they're growing over your sidewalk, you can give them a whack with a pruning shear and let them go.
Well, how come we never really hear about these when people talk about like low growing hedges, or maybe we just they're just not as popular as boxwoods and things like that?
Well, they don't make us as neat of a hedge as boxwood does. They're a little bit more sticky and twiggy looking than boxwood, but they're a pretty plant, and they work. You know, when the Mediterranean garden look was really big with all the Mediterranean and Tuscan villas that were being built here in Sonoma County, they were really popular, and they're still popular.
Okay.
You know, they're a good plant. Easy care. And they'll grow either in full hot sun or they will tolerate a fair amount of shade, too.
So they can thrive where other plants maybe will fail to grow.
Yeah.
Okay, germanders, another plant family.
Botanical name on germander is Teucrium.
Okay.
And so they're readily available, and you can find them around.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dave. Is it too late to prune my hydrangea plants? Some plants still have beautiful flowers in spite of the rain. And that's from Marilyn out in Freestone.
Marilyn, you got plenty of time to prune your hydrangeas. Generally, you want to prune the hydrangeas when they are dormant, which usually ends up being in December or January or February. And I'm not going to get into all the hydrangea pruning because there's a couple of different techniques of pruning hydrangeas, but you've got plenty of time. I would probably wait till after these major storms so you don't get soaked, and then go for it.
Vines that can take the shade. I have a corner that gets basically no sun, and I'm looking at a photo of something called Hardenbergia Violacea. What do you think about that?
Hardenbergia is a nice vine. I have personally haven't had that much luck with it in heavy shade.
Okay.
It works well in sunny areas. It tolerates the cold. It's deer tolerant. It is evergreen. It blooms in the late winter.
Okay.
And actually, I remember on many occasions before Fountain Grove got burnt badly, there were a lot of happy wanderer vines, is the common name on it, that were growing on the fences up there, and you would see them in full bloom with snow on the ground and stuff. But it's a good vine. It's pretty easy.
But deep shade may not do too well.
I don't think you would get quite the satisfaction of flowers out of it. And the thing is, it's one of those vines that it blooms for two or three or four weeks and it's done.
Okay.
You know, but it is evergreen.
What about creeping fig as an alternative for shady areas?
Oh, yeah. You could put creeping fig in a closet and it would grow. it'll tolerate the darkness really, really well. The only... and I won't say it's a drawback because a lot of people like this fact, is that it sticks to walls and stuff. So if you plant it against a stucco wall or a concrete retaining wall or wood or whatever, it'll hold itself up. You don't have to even trellis it.
But against a wooden redwood fence, it'll be okay? Will it get out of control? Doesn't I think get 20, 30 feet?
Over time, yeah.
Can you keep it pruned?
Oh, it takes pruning really well.
Okay, so that's maybe a better choice. Does it have a pretty flower too? Not really any flower.
It does bloom, but the flower looks like a sort of like a small fig.
Okay.
It's not an attractive blossom particularly.
It's not. And third one, Katsura japonica. Do you know about that one?
Katsura. What's the common name on that? Katsura.
Japonica vera
is
a variegata
to me.
Let's see, foliage will climb to 15 feet. I'll show you a photo of this. Another excellent trellis or fence cover. Oh, here's another. Halbaelia coriacea sausage vine. Have you heard of that one?
No.
These are some obscure ones. I think I'll stick with the flowering fig.
Yeah, that's really good. And if the shade is not too deep... it gets a little bit of brightness or it's a little bit of sun during the day. The jasmines do quite well, you know, if you're looking for something that would flower for you, either the star jasmine or Confederate jasmine or the pink flowering jasmine.
In shade, they do okay?
As long as it's not a black shade, they're fine.
Not black, okay. Any other vines that you would recommend for a shade?
Well, if it's modeled light, you could probably do well with clematis.
Okay.
In there too.
I'll look for that too.
Yeah.
Good. Well, those are good choices.
Yeah, because when you get into the darker areas of the garden, there are a lot of things that don't flower as profusely as you do when you have got sunshine to work with.
Okay, I'll take those under advisement. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We still have about 15 minutes left with Dave Fazio. If you have a final question or comment, we have 10, 12 minutes to take your calls at 636-1350. Or you could always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
Lark Field hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
The holiday season is here. There is no better place to help you create that special environment than the Gift Horse in Healdsburg. Hi, I'm Carol, owner of the Gift Horse. I invite you to come see all the beautiful, special things we've added this season.
Hi, I'm Carlene. We have some wonderful holiday gift ideas for you. Lodge, a great selection for that special person in your life. Mention this ad and receive 10% off. Le Creuset, which would make a great gift for anyone, has a house special on the Zen tea kettles. Regularly $80, now $59.99.
The Gift Horse is the perfect place to find wonderful linens by April Purnell, elegant tableware, Lennox wine glasses, and colonial candles. And with gifts for your loved ones, we are ready for the holidays. Open every day 9 to 6.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garraday's Hardware in Healdsburg.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Happy holidays.
Sonoma County is rich with creative people. Being an artist or a budding entrepreneur takes creativity and hard work. It often requires expensive technology and education to finish your projects. And that's where we come in. I'm Zach Block with Jared Lyons, and we're here with North Bay Makers at 180 Studios.
We provide public access to over 16,000 square feet of professional equipment with a dynamic work environment.
180 Studios is a maker space in Santa Rosa. Here's another member story.
Hi, I'm Brian, co-founder of Old Kaz Beer, a brand new brewery right here in Roner Park. We've used the facilities at North Bay Makers and 180 Studios to build out everything that we have here at the brewery. Everything from signage, t-shirts, even our flight trays and stickers have been made all custom by hand out of recycled and repurposed materials right here at 180 Studios.
Visit 180studios.org to learn more.
Online at 180studios.org.
Dell's biggest Black Friday ever starts now. Save up to 50% on Windows 10 laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends January 14th, 2020. Save on servers and a huge selection of electronics with low monthly payments, plus get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/SB Black Friday.
We went on the street to find out what you love about MySonomaDeals.com.
I always take advantage of the hotel deals.
Oh, the restaurants for sure.
Believe it or not, you can save 50% and more at MySonomaDeals.com.
I take advantage of the golf deal.
Visit MySonomaDeals.com often for the best deals in Sonoma County. They're always changing and in limited quantities.
We love the family options.
You'll find savings and fun all wrapped into one at MySonomaDeals.com.
I had no idea.
If you're looking for something restorative, these cold, cold winter days that we're experiencing, try a bowl of, how about something with hominy, pozole possibly. Steve Sando, great cookbook author and the owner of Rancho Gordo Beans, will be joining Chef John Ash and me in the KSRO kitchen in about 15 minutes to celebrate the release of his brand new cookbook devoted to unraveling the mysteries of pozole. It's a great winter dish. Jolene would like a word about her roses. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
What can we do for you? We're doing great. What can we do?
My son planted, he landscaped his backyard, and he planted these beautiful roses. They're not bushes. They're more like trees. And there's, I don't know, seven or eight of them. And I kind of got the job of taking care of them. which I really don't even know how to do. And but I don't want to kill them. And so when do I prune those?
Generally, you're going to do them during the dormant season or the winter time, and it's getting near there. I don't know if the cold that we've had is enough to knock the leaves off of them almost completely, but you'd like them to be fairly bare at the time. And then, and basically, instead of pruning like a bush rose that grows from the ground up, you're going to be looking at this stem with this the bush up at the top, and you're going to treat that very similarly to the way you would a rose bush in the ground. It's just that you're going to end up cutting it back a little bit harder because you don't want it to get too big and bushy on the top. Otherwise, you're liable to risk breaking the stem.
So I cut it so it looks like I've probably mutilated it, and then it'll be fine afterwards.
Well, yeah, basically, you know, if you take your hand and turn it upside down and envision that being your the stems that come from that ball at the top of the stem or the top of the trunk, and if you cut those to an outside bud, you know, one that's facing to the out, and go take it back maybe so that it's 8 to 10 inches long.
And so there's not very many leaves will be left on it, right?
There would be probably no leaves left on it. If you go to the outside bud, and probably how these are fairly new roses?
Yes, they were planted during this past summer.
Yeah, I would leave maybe 3 to 5 of those stems and take the little weak, wimpy-looking ones out, and then prune the others back to about 8 or 10 inches from the base to an outside bud.
You mean from the base of the tree where it starts to flower and grow?
From the trunk or the graft union at the top of the trunk.
Okay, because they're not on the ground. They're like
up
trees.
They're up a stem. I mean? Yeah, and if you go 8 to 10 inches from where they all come out at the end of the trunk.
Right. Okay.
Does that makes sense.
All right. I will do that, and hopefully, I won't give my kid a heart attack because that would not be good.
Yeah. No.
He sees me out there, and he'll say, "Now, Mom, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing?" No, but no, give me a minute.
Yeah. The thing with roses is, you know, people have got this enigma that they're something that's got to be touched with glove hands or something, because you got to be real careful. Roses are amazingly resilient. So, you know, if you cut them a little too hard, they'll be fine anyway. Or if you're a little on the more hesitant side and prune them a little bit too little, they'll be fine. Don't get nervous about
them. A couple of them still have roses. I mean, actual flowers on them. So do I wait till those are all gone? Or
usually you want to wait till after there's a couple of good hard frosts. I don't know where you are in the county, but
Rincon Valley.
Well, we've gotten some frost already, but they may not be quite ready to prune. But any time in the near future, I would think.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much for your advice. I will do my best.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Well, what do you think? You think she's going to be successful, Dave?
You cannot be successful with roses. You know, they are not the temperamental little brats in the garden like so many rosarians would like you to believe. They will tolerate more abuse, and especially when it comes to pruning, they'll be right back at her next year and be full of flowers.
Greg Lowry was on the show several months ago back in summer from Vintage Roses over a great rosarian who's grown probably close to 5,000, 6,000 different varieties of roses since 1978-79. And he made a point to say, don't be afraid. They're the most forgiving. They're tougher than they look. You'd have to, it's almost impossible to do them in, no matter what you do to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Roses are amazing. They do tolerate a lot of abuse.
Yep. That's a good point to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Roses take a lot of abuse. Back after this.
Pengrove, here's FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
It's the 4th annual Cotati Shop and Stroll, Saturday, December 7th from 11 to 5. There'll be carriage rides around La Plaza Park, Santa selfies, and live music featuring L. James and the Bluebirds.
Shop your favorite Cotati businesses, including Down to Earth Cafe, Flagship Brewery, and Stone Throw Gifts.
Artisan vendors with an array of holiday gifts, including a selection of jewelry from over 10 vendors and businesses. There's oysters with pearl jewelry inside from Pavati Pearls, Mexican silver jewelry from Lulu Juan and Jessica, and vintage jewelry from Luscious.
Find wreaths, clothing, soaps, candles and Mexican art, apple products, olive oil, smoked salmon, and sweets, including rainy day chocolates.
Sip beer, wine, and mimosas from the Cotati Chamber.
Enjoy an international food court, including Acme Burgers, Porchetta, and French Corner Crepes.
The Cotati Shop and Stroll, Saturday, December 7th, 11 to 5 in downtown Cotati.
Sponsored in part by the County of Sonoma, Larson's Feed Store, Heinzines, and Recology.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So I think we might have come up with one more climbing vine that possibly likes shade, and that is a climbing hydrangea. What about that one, Dave?
Yeah, the climbing hydrangeas will tolerate shade quite well. There is one that is a deciduous variety, and there's also an evergreen climbing hydrangea. The evergreen's a little bit more difficult to find, but they both will climb and do their thing. The evergreen tends to be faster growing than the deciduous one.
That's good. But it can kept at 6-8 feet?
With pruning.
With pruning,
yeah.
Okay. But it'll give a nice display of color and flowers?
It'll give you a reasonable display of color.
But that's all right for a shady area.
Yeah.
All right, with that, we have to bid you adieu, and we'll see you, I'm sure, next year in 2020.
Yeah, hopefully. God willing.
God willing. You know? Thank you for coming in today.
And my pleasure.
Wonderful to see you, as always. Dave Fazio at Garden Talk. As we switch things around in the last, during the next news break at 11 o'clock, and head over to the Chaos Auto Kitchen with Chef John Ash and Steve Sando from Rancho Gordo Heirloom Beans, celebrating the release of his new book just out this past week, Pozole. This is KSRO.
News, traffic, weather.